grab it all takes, one of the old tasty pancakes. We're bringing you a great show. That's no bikes. Talking Daniel Craig's Bond, the quite of a show.
Christian, your Papaholics host, showing you that being an alcoholic doesn't make you a secret agent. And I'm joined by my best friend,
Chris Conkling.
That's right, Chris, you've been elevated to best friend over the course
I'm
of...
I'm so excited. The more you drink, the higher up I get in the best friend list.
For those who are Papaholics fans and those who aren't, the past three episodes is one recording because we're efficient and we like to make our content good. We made the weekly upload and then we made the Casino Ray episode and we're on to this episode. And it's the 1st of October that we're recording all of this. And Chris, what do I do in September? What happens?
Loyal listeners, for those that don't know, September for Christian is sober September. Once a year, he takes a whole month off and doesn't drink a drop.
Completely sober.
And being that today's October 1st, drink all bets are off.
To be fair, I don't drink and drive ever, Chris.
No. Yeah, absolutely not.
No, I don't drink and pod. I drink and pod 11 months.
Drink and pod.
And, I gotta be honest. May have overdone it for this record, but it's fun.
It's James Bond, so.
It's the Bond man. It's the Bond man, and we're here to celebrate it. This is the Papaholics. What do we do? Well, on our weekly uploads, which happen every Monday, we talk about the latest in pop culture, and then for the movie part, we do whatever the main topic is. We theme the month, and we talk about the things around it. No Time to Die is coming out October 8th. Very exciting. A lot of people so excited to see it. It's been delayed and delayed. We're finally getting to see it. So we're taking this month to celebrate the Craig Bond series. So we talked about Casino Royale 2 days ago, as of your ear holes. And today we are talking about the follow-up film, 2008's Quantum of Solace.
It'd be a pretty cold bastard who didn't want revenge for the death of someone he loved.
I don't think the dead care about vengeance. And I have some unfinished business.
The first thing you should know about us is that we have people everywhere.
What the hell is this organization, Bond? How can they be everywhere and we know nothing about them?
This is the world's most precious resource. We need to control as much of it as we can.
Name check, Dominic Green.
He's a person of extreme interest.
We've already begun destabilizing the government.
You know who Green is and you want to put us in bed with him.
Yeah, you're right. We should just deal with nice people.
This is from the trailer for Quantum of Solace 2008, directed by Mark Forrester, written by Paul Haggis, Neil Purvis, and Robert Wade. Scored by David Arnold. The budget of $230 million. It grossed $589.6 million. And it stars Daniel Craig, James Bond, Olga Kurylenko as Camille Montez, Matteo Amarek as Dominic Green, Gino Carlo Gianni as Renee Mathis, Gemma Arterton as Strawberry Fields. It stars a lot of people. Jeffrey Wright's in there. And as well as we noted,
David Harbour
in this film. What are we going to talk about? Well, we talked about our history with Bond last episode. So if you want to hear that shit, go listen to that episode. We're going to talk about our overall non-spoiler thoughts. Going to go into spoiler talk. Favorite moments, and then proceed with final thoughts. But we got to start the way we do on the Bond series, which is talk about that opening sequence, Chris.
Oh, we do.
All right. What are your general thoughts on
Another Way to Die by Jack White and Alicia Keys?
What a combo!
It really is. This is actually, I believe, it's the first duo to create a Bond song.
Interesting.
Last week you were saying what an interesting choice Chris Cornell was for Casino Royale, not last week, but on Wednesday. And I think this is really where that comes into play with Jack White and Alicia Keys. This is way more of like a rock song than You Know My Name is. I feel like You Know My Name is way more like it suits Bond more than this particular song. However, I love this song. It's going to be a common thread over the course of the month as we're talking about these opening songs. I honestly think every song in the Craig era of Bond is a banger song. So,
agreed.
I really enjoy
it's top
what
tier.
Jack White
I think all
and Alicia Keys
tier.
Bring to this opening sequence. And it doesn't have the visuals themselves don't have a similar aesthetic to Casino Royale, but it does have this very interesting, like, shadowed desert aesthetic, which suits, you know, the theme and the narrative of Quantum of Solace.
Like, her butt is a dune. I'm for that. That's super Bond. That's good.
Yeah. What do you think about this song, Christian?
I think it's fun. It's crazy. It doesn't make any sense. And that's why I like it more. It's because it's like a genre mashup where there's like aspects of the Raconteurs and then, and you know, the White Stripes. And then Alicia Keys comes out and belts some shit for a second. Like, not very long. Like, she's not singing for very long. It's very weird. And I like it because it's weird. And it had me grooving and guessing, second guessing what a song could be. And so for that, I think it's more interesting than Chris Cornell's. Chris Cornell's is very, I don't want to say safe. Safe's a very bad word with a lot of pejoratives.
I think it's standard Bond.
You think Another Way to Die is standard Bond? It feels very weird to me.
No,
which I like.
Another Way to Die is not standard Bond. I'm saying I think Chris Cornell's,
exactly.
You Know My Name is standard
Bond.
And exactly. I don't think that's a bad thing. Right. I think it was exactly what Casino Royale needed. But with this movie, they're taking a little bit of a chance.
There's so much emptiness. Like, the chorus of it, when the guitar hits in, it's like literally fuzzy guitar and drums and Jack White for like a solid like 20 seconds. And it's like...
Down.
Well, that... No, because you have the... Bum, 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 bum. You have that. You have this big orchestra behind it. But then when it goes like... Down. It's a very classic rock riff. And it's just Jack White going like... I think we'll see what do, we'll go, we'll see what do. And it's just him. And you're like, this is just a White Stripes Rocketeer song. And then the Bondness comes in and it's like in conflict. And I think it's a beautiful battle between fire and ice dragons of music. It's very interesting. I think it's just unique, if I say it. I do like the visuals.
Unique is certainly a great way to describe this.
And part, like, the originality behind how crazy the idea of this song is, to me, is more interesting than what Chris Cornell's doing, which I
understandable.
I want to say safe, but I don't want to say safe because Chris Cornell put a lot of work, very talented artist, all that stuff. But it seems like, that's the song you would write. This song is like the song of Jack White going like, yeah, but I'm Jack White. So you asked me to write a song. I don't care if Alicia Keys singing on it. It's going to go.
But, you know, like, we'll get into it a little bit more. But I really do think this song kind of suits what Mark Forster is going for in this movie. Like, this is such a different vibe than Casino Royale. And it seems to be not standard James Bond in the way that it is edited and composed. You know, it's very action oriented.
If I could spoil my thoughts, it's funny because I've only seen this movie once before our rewatch. Cause I was very excited. Obviously Casino Royale, very excited about the Bond films. I think I saw everyone in theaters. I saw a couple with you.
Yeah. We saw Spectre together.
This movie is like a Paul Greengrass film in the worst way possible. To spoil my thoughts, it is like trying to take that modern action and just be like, Bond's in it, right? This is how we're redoing it. We'll talk about how that works out. But let's go into our overall non-spoiler thoughts. Chris, starting with you.
So I want to start, before I give my thoughts, by talking a little bit about the context in which this film came out. This movie came out in 2008, and it was being made during the writer's strike. So you had Haggis, Purvis, and Wade compose essentially a first draft or a skeleton version of this film and then have to go on strike. And no one was allowed to hire any union writers during these several months. So you actually have Forster and even Daniel Craig himself going in and trying to punch up this script. And Daniel Craig has admitted in multiple interviews when talking about this movie that, like, he is by no means a writer. So this, and on top of all that, this movie was also following, I mean, if you listen to last episode, Christian and I sing the praises of Casino Royale, but this movie's also following one of the best Bond movies ever made. So there was a huge bar that it had to reach, but because of the context of what was going on in Hollywood at the time, it almost had an impossible task, you know? So I, like Christian, have only seen this movie once before watching it again for this episode. And I didn't have a high opinion of this movie at all the first time I saw it. In fact, off air, I was joking with Christian that if Casino Royale is a mainstream video game, then Quantum of Solace is the post-game DLC that you have to purchase for like $40 just to get like a little extra gameplay and like a little more time spent with this character. Like, it's so tightly knit together with the story of Casino Royale that it does, it is basically like the same story. You know, we're wrapping up a bow for what was left open in Casino Royale here in Quantum of Solace. But even despite that opinion, I actually had a lot of fun watching this movie this time around. And I don't know if that was because I watched it in such close proximity to Casino Royale. I watched it the day after I watched Casino Royale. But I think there are genuinely a lot of things to like about Quantum of Solace. I don't think that it's the best Bond movie ever made, but I still think that Daniel Craig is performing, you know, very well in the film. This is still a peak Bond performance. I like what Olga Kurylenko is doing with Camille Montes. As I mentioned on Wednesday in our Casino Royale episode, I think she's an interesting Bond girl, and I like that she's not a standard Bond girl. Dominic Green, you know, Forster going into this, he basically wanted to subvert all expectations for what this movie was supposed to represent as a Bond movie. Dominic Green is not your stereotypical Bond villain in that he has no physical maladies or no disfiguration to him. He's just an evil CEO, you know?
But interesting in the way that he is representing a lot of progressive ideas.
Right.
Falsely, you know, which I think is interesting.
Right. Exactly. But we'll get into it in favorite moments and in spoilers. But I do genuinely think there are some things to love about Quantum of Solace. It's just not peak Daniel Craig Bond. And it's not its fault. There were a lot of things going against it.
You know, Chris, art is hard. You know, we've talked about this a couple of times. I really, like, after watching it, same that we've been talking about, I did not have any high opinions of this movie. I thought I remember it being boring. Like, I'm like, oh, that movie's boring. Like, maybe it's going to be a snooze fest. It's actually not that. It's not a snooze fest. It's actually a fun Bond movie, I think. I think it is held back by 10% of refinement that would make it an excellent, if not one of the best Bond films. It's so close to being a great Bond film. It's literally...
That makes sense, considering that they weren't able to refine.
No, and that's great context that you provide for it. And I appreciate that, because I was watching this film going, it is so close to being as good as Casino Royale. It's just missing a little bit of cleanliness, of just smoothness to it. I enjoy the idea behind a bunch of set pieces, like the concept behind them. There's good ideas. Daniel Craig is still awesome. I don't think he's any worse. There is, I'm going to talk about my favorite moments. There is an incredible, awe-inspiring moment of like this. Honestly, one of my favorite James Bond moments ever occurs in this film. And I think it's actually shot well, and I think it's done well. It's just in the context of everything else happening, it doesn't rise the cream of this film to the top. But there is really cool shit happening. I really like the main villain. I like, again, the idea of the set pieces. I like the Bond girl. I love Daniel Craig. It's fun. It's a good movie. It's a good movie. It's fine. It's a good movie. We had talked about it, and I said, you know, this is a good Bond film. Casino Royale is a great movie, and those are two separate planes of existence to be on.
Right.
So I still think this is upper tier Bond, which I wasn't expecting. I really did not remember having a great time with it. But I think, again, I think it plays into two things. And in closing out, before we get into spoilers, Chris, am I wrong? This is like the first sequel in a Bond movie. It's like a direct sequel.
Yeah, you're not wrong. No, this is... I mean, there have been like tiny threads in Bond movies before, but the Craig era in particular has been the most linear. And this movie, out of all of them, is a continuation of Casino Royale directly. We kick off at the end, like right where we left off at the end of Casino Royale. And it it's very rare that Bond does that.
You know, and I remember, I think it really helps watching this after Casino Royale, and I will push back on the pejorative that this is DLC. You know, I think that's a funny take. Chris, I give you all the kudos in the world. We do a podcast together. I love your thoughts. I think that's a little harsh. Like, I do think it stands alone as a full...
It's also one of the shorter Bond movies.
Thank God. If it was any longer, I would not be as high as I'm going to be on this film.
Right.
I just think that, like, I think that for me, I was confused watching it. Because, like, I've watched Bond films for, like, my entire life. And this idea that I had to think about the previous Bond film, I don't think they telegraphed it as well. We heard the trailer, and there's a little bit of that. But I really think that, like, psychologically, the reason my opinion was so low on it is because I don't think that the... And maybe this is a fault of my own, but I think even by the end of it, I was like, is the... Were they... Did things matter the last Bond movie? Because I just am culturally trained to think Bond movies are just... Episodic. I understand Bond, and now I'm watching Monster of the Week Bond. Mm-hmm. Right? And Casino Royale elevated it, but I didn't... There was nothing that indicated that things would continue because it was against the frame. And I think that's a failure of marketing and a failure of how it was... how this movie was pitched, because... If you are going to subvert and actually make an episodic Bond, which is fine, and I think watching it back to back, I'm like, oh, Quantum Solace is way better because this context motivates the character going forward and gives you that character.
It completely defines Bond, you know, as who he is in this movie.
And him and M's relationship is something that is ongoing. And you just, like, they didn't really acknowledge that publicly, it seems. Maybe they did and it just wasn't highlighted, but it was a failure of the communication to... people, I think, to let them know that this was indeed a direct sequel, which is just weird for Bond. And I'm not saying you can't do it. I'm not poo-pooing it. I think it works really good. I think it works great as a direct sequel. I think where it fails is that, I alluded to it, is the green grass nature of the editing is so juddery. And, like, even from the first sequence where there's this...
Oh, the opening car chase is crazy.
And
the
this
way
continues.
It's edited together.
This
continues. It's so quick.
I don't think it's not until the end, really, that you get a cohesive sequence. It's the thing the film is fighting the whole time is really jarring edits that take
especially
you out.
Especially coming off of Casino Royale, which is edited so differently.
Think about the car. We didn't even mention our favorite moments, which is like an iconic moment of that movie, but where the...
When he flips the Aston
where
Martin.
Where he sees Vesper and he divots, and it's just a clean shot of the Aston Martin flipping, right? Think about that car. It's three cuts, right? It's three or four cuts. You know, the car chase in this starts off, and it's immediate, and I think it actually disobeys cinematic language. Like, it actually goes against basic ideas of how you edit an action scene. And it's like, remember the scene when they're in the museum, it reminded me of the Jurassic Park thing, where there's like this chase or whatever from the guy that betrayed, who's a 00 agent inside of... MI6, and he's chasing him, and like the concept behind it is no different or any worse than the first parkour scene, and they've got this twirling thing, and again it reminded me of the ending scene in Jurassic Park where they're on these, you know, wires and whatever, and it's like a good idea and there's like smart things happening and it theoretically makes sense, but it's just the way it's cut, and that is persistent throughout pretty much every action scene. I think the only one that is really impressive is the plane scene. We're getting into spoilers. I'm sorry. I didn't cut the spoilers here, but just putting it very vaguely, the action leaves a lot to be desired and loses a lot of the character that we have talked about in Casino Royale, of the character showing through. And it's more of like, I'm actually actively confused on what's happening and there's just too many cuts. And I think that's where it falls, because I think everything else with maybe a little writing touch-up, and it's a great Bond film. So I think it's worth, especially if you like Casino Royale, I think just watch this right after, and you'll get...
You'll get more out of it.
You know, Chris, I'll backtrack. It's like a DLC that's like, oh, I'm glad that exists. Analogy makes sense there. Let's go to spoilers.
I'm glad you like it.
Let's go into spoilers for Quantum Solace. Chris, the drinking in this movie is off the chain. No, I do think it's this when the drinking is.
But that also makes sense considering where Bond is. You know, he's just lost the love of his life. He's trying to numb himself. Like, he truly is becoming a cold-hearted killer. It makes perfect sense in terms of where his character is.
It is true. I think it makes more sense in the context of the film. What are your favorite moments from this flick?
Even more so than specific moments, I really like a lot of what Forster is doing here with some of the thematic elements with the action set pieces. I really like what Haggis, Purvis, and Wade are doing with the characters in this. Like, going in, thinking about all the action sequences, I love that, considering that this movie has an environmental message to it, I like that every action sequence is representative of the four elements, which is, you know, earth, wind, fire, and water. Like, each action set piece takes place within a different element.
Wait, which one is, which is the last action set piece? It's fire.
Fire.
Okay. Fire.
Yeah. So you have the first action set piece, the car chase, which is earth or land. And then you have the boat action set piece, which is water. Then you have the plane action set piece, which is air.
I'm sorry to,
and then the final set
break
piece,
the
which is fire.
Mystery of the pod. But did you read this somewhere? How did you come to this conclusion? It makes
sense. When I was doing research, I was like, oh, that's super interesting. Like,
yeah.
In a movie that's seemingly so disjointed and like kind of was a rush job, there is vision here in the film still, and I really dig that about, you know, what he was trying to do.
No, I didn't even realize that. It's crazy.
It's super cool. And then, as I mentioned earlier, I'm a fan of Camille Montez in this movie. Like, I like that she's not a stereotypical Bond girl. Bond even kisses her in one moment toward the end of the film, and she kind of rebuffs him. You know, she doesn't give in to him, and I really dig that. They're both in this place where they can share similar emotions.
He doesn't consummate love with her. He never has sex with her.
Right. They never have sex in the movie. But I really like that because they're almost foils of one another. They're both seeking revenge, and they're both on the same track. And she's just a really great foil for Bond in this film.
No, that's an overall point of it that works, I think, insanely well. Yeah. Especially, yeah. I think the ending scene is really indicative of character, and is actually really good and surprised me. I was like, it was great. Deus Ex propane tank, but, you know.
Oh, it's a great moment where, like, he's about to kill both of them.
Yeah.
You know, and then the propane tank
reveals
itself.
We haven't seen that in a Bond. It's like literally pushing, again, to Casino Royale. It's pushing the elements of what a Bond film can be. So I appreciate that. Mm-hmm. It's good.
Yeah, I really dig that. And we talked about his relationship with M earlier in the conversation. And their relationship becomes really important.
You know, it's actually elevated and more interesting in this film, I think, than Casino Royale.
Absolutely, because she knows that he's just lost the love of his life and that he's emotionally compromised. And
she's trying to console him. She's trying to console him, but also be his boss. And it's a super interesting dynamic. Yeah.
And over the course of the movie, he's consistently being framed for all these killings. And because of what she knows about the events that he just experienced, she doesn't question it. That he has reached a point where he's so cold-blooded and so turned off that he has no problem killing all of these people. And I think that is an interesting dynamic, an interesting shift in dynamic between the two of them. Because she's like this weird mother figure for him over the course of this whole, film era of Bond.
Yeah, absolutely. It's something that I think I'm going to appreciate more as we go into Skyfall, for sure.
Oh, it's a big part of Skyfall.
It culminates, yeah. Yeah, and I think that's going to come to fruition for me. Chris, when I said it has one of my favorite Bond scenes ever, what do you think I was referring to?
I have no idea.
Dude, the...
Lay it on me.
Opera scene. When he's at the top and he says, like, you guys should find a better meeting place, and everybody stands up, he starts taking pictures of them.
It's a great reveal.
Fucking A. Like, him, like, that is very Bond to me of, like, I've outsmarted you in a way that you didn't expect. And the imagery of the play playing out while he's revealing them, and that going through to the action scene. And again, like, as much as the editing bothers me, the artfulness of so many times in this film, action scenes playing out where there should be like noise of what's happening in the action scene and just being pure 100% score, I'm like, no, this film's good. Like, this film's like trying for something that's really excellent. And again, to the action scene part, I do give it like a little bit of kudos. As much as it's disjointed, they do a pretty good boat scene that, again, is a little too many cuts, but like filming on water's really like, they were trying some really challenging stuff. Like, they set the difficulty really hard. And as much as they don't quite nail it, and it's not going to be a classic Bond film or a classic film in any regard, they're really trying to go for it in a lot of really like artful ways that I really appreciated. And I actually can't, again, coming across way more hot on this film than I thought. I was really expecting to be
I was ready to tear it apart.
Absolutely. And it's evident where the flaws are, where it like does not stand up to the bar that Casino Royale is. But I do think, with the context of us having to digest it as a sequential Bond film, when we were not ready to do so, when everything in our brain said these movies aren't connected, and it's crazy to think in a world where like literally everything is connected, even if it's made from a separate studio, you know, like it's very strange territory right now, where we're just assuming, we're hoping that things are connected when they are not.
All movies are part of the same multiverse,
right? And this film, even in the same universe, was never expected to be that. I think it actually excites. Fucking badass moment where the motorcycle guy is chasing them through the thing, and there's that great scene, and I love all the moments when it's not trying to be super action heavy, because I still think the moments are there, of Bond pretending to be the person and getting in the car, and just this like it's like this great spy shit. It's just great spy stuff. And he gets kicked out of the car. He's like, I think someone's trying to kill you, and she kicks him out. You're like, oh, he just realized that, and she's defending herself, whatever. And he's in the middle of the alleyways, and the motorcyclist is chasing and says like, you were supposed to shoot her. And then he takes his hand and he palms it and
flips the bike.
Well, what he does is he fucking hits the accelerator, and that's how he flips the bike, is because the back wheel spins and it looks so good, and he just steals the bike. Such a badass moment. So cool.
It was a badass sequence.
That's very, very cool Bond. That's the Bond I come to see. That was really fun. Yeah, I talked about the opera scene. It's literally one of my favorite like set pieces in any of these Bond films. But there's, again, to like wrap it up and talk about the biggest qualms, is that some of the action set pieces really, at the end of the day, feel like we have to capture this footage because it's our job. And it needs to be done for the film to be done. And you just like feel that. You like feel an element of, we got to make James Bond look cool here. Okay, we have to make it look dangerous here. Oh, we have to be. It feels like a checklist that's occurring. And that, I think, is the greatest fault of the action pieces. Like, there's stuff to the story that could have been refined, but I think it's like 15% refinement, 10% refinement. It doesn't need much more, because I think there's so many good elements there. It just needs that little bit of zhuzh to really push it into really great territory. But the action sequences, I think, feel and disjoint the film more ever so, because it feels laborious the way that it's put together.
Cookie cutter almost.
In a way that's really disappointing, only because the ideas are good. And I think that's where seeing it, I can only speak for myself, my brain not even attaching it to the first film, even though it's very essential to feeling anything in this film, really. And so standalone, not working well, because I know I watched
it doesn't, and I completely agree with you that as a standalone movie, I think this movie is exceptionally weak, and it only benefits from having seen Casino Royale in such close proximity. And
even
you're dead on when saying like
proximity. The knowledge that another Bond movie has to do with a Bond movie, which is just like antithetical to what we've been conditioned
to about James Bond
for so long. So those are some of my favorite moments, some of my biggest qualms. But in final thoughts, where do you think Quantum of Solace stands in the pantheon of Bond films?
Of all Bond films?
Well, I mean, we're talking Bond. I don't know, Craig Bond, all Bond.
If we're talking Daniel Craig Bond, Unfortunately, I think this is the weakest Daniel Craig Bond movie.
Ooh, I'm excited to see Spectre. I'm excited to see Spectre.
I know your opinions of Spectre.
Yeah.
But, and we'll see. We'll see when I revisit Spectre. I remember being much hotter on Spectre than you were when we came out of the theater.
I don't trust, just like Bond doesn't trust any of his friends anymore. I don't trust my feelings on Bond films from the past.
Look what happened with Quantum of Solace.
I'm telling you.
To say. But from memory of how I feel about all the Daniel Craig Bond movies overall, this definitely comes in as the weakest one. However, I did really enjoy watching it this time around, and I would revisit it again. I'm sure that I will at some point.
We agree on our feelings going in, and maybe not on our overall ranking, because like I think Skyfall has the best opening sequence. I honestly haven't loved a Bond film since Casino Royale. As far as fresh viewings, I'm a lot hotter on Quantum than I thought I'd be. And that's saying a lot just for like a narrative piece. I'm accepting it more as a narrative piece, and maybe it was ahead of its time and again didn't market itself or telegraph what kind of series this would be. So I'm very excited to get into more of the character development of Bond, which is antithetical to Bond because he's just that guy.
I have to say, as soon as I finished Quantum of Solace, I immediately wanted to watch Skyfall.
Yeah.
And it's so hard. I know for the podcast, it's better if we hold off and not consume everything at once. So I stopped myself from watching Skyfall.
I'm proud of you.
But as soon as we're done
watching
this or recording this episode, I'm going to watch Skyfall as soon as I possibly can.
Yeah.
Because this era of Bond, like we mentioned, does something that no other Bond does, which is it creates connective tissue between each of the films. Some of it is a little flimsier than others as we get into like Spectre and stuff, but it's still very enjoyable.
Well, because I'm watching, to that point, as we close out our final thoughts, I'm watching this going like, oh, they're talking about Spectre, but they're not actually talking about Spectre.
They're talking about Quantum.
They're talking about Quantum.
Which is like a subsidiary of Spectre, but we don't know that at this point.
Yeah, which I already know is going to fall apart as far as a linear through line. Because there's this idea...
I am the architect of all your pain, Mr. Bond.
There's this idea, right, that I like about Quantum. And maybe Quantum sours as I go through and I'm like, oh, Quantum didn't mean anything. Because there's this idea of like uncovering the things that actually run things, right? We're a secret agent, we're supposed to know everything. And not even this agency, Mum doesn't even know about. All this shit going on because it's above her, and that's cool. This is unraveling that I like about Quantum, but
yeah, that there's like this evil secret society doing business in the shadows,
right, which is very cool. But the fact that it's not actually like as we go on through the series, it's not actually tied into, you know, we're not building up to the thing that runs everything. We suddenly divert and go, well, it's not actually Quantum, this is another thing, and that
there's actually a tier above it.
That's weird. That's strange. Anyway, but we'll discover that as we go along with our Bond month on Popaholics. And that's going to do it for Quantum of Solace. Chris, where can people find more of your work on the internet?
Loyal listeners, you can find me on Twitter at Chris Conkling, talking about all things nerdy, comic books, television, movies, video games, collectibles. If it's nerdy, I'm talking about it.
And you can find my band at Midnight Satire. New bangers on the way. You already know the deal, Midnight Satire. And you can email the Popaholics right directly. Share your thoughts on Bond, anything else we've talked about, popaholicscast@gmail.com. We read every single thing we receive from our fans. Also connect with us on social media. We got a link down in the show notes to all of our social media. We really do appreciate every single thing that is said, and we take into account. We did a Doctor Who month based on a comment. Come on, you can shape the future of the Popaholics. And new stuff coming soon as far as the Popaholics Empire. Speaking out of turn, because I've had too much to drink on what my plans are for what this thing is. But, you know.
Don't reveal anything
yet. No, it's actually not Christian who's running things. It is Spectre. Chris, people already know, but tell them, what are we covering next week?
Christian, next week we're going to continue our adventure with Daniel Craig as James Bond, and we're going to watch the third movie in his run, Skyfall.
Which is on Hulu, I believe. So you can actually catch up and watch the next film we'll be covering on a streaming service. Casino Royale and Quantum of Solace, I don't believe, are streaming anywhere. I owned Casino Royale and I buy Quantum. So Skyfall is streaming, so jump on board and let the sky fall.
Do we have Adele in the studio?
We don't. No, we are running this podcast on Adele, and it's very old. It needs to be updated. It's on Windows XP.
Waka waka.
Waka waka. So all that and more we have coming up. Brian's going to make his return. God, I've never missed Brian so much. Now, I love you, Chris. It's been awesome just to have a back and forth with you. But
I miss Brian, too.
Now I know why we're a trio. I heard him in the back of my head making comments. I miss.
You might want to get that
checked out. Yeah, probably. Brian will be back and the pop-up will be back to full speed. And when we talk about Skyfall and our weekly upload on Monday, next episode. Oh!